Proverbs chapter 3. I was thinking as Jimmy Collins was preaching last night about joy and happiness and kind of almost recanting what he had said earlier about the subject that, you know, on any subject we can get up and give our opinions, and I've done that myself. But if we really want to lay a foundation of wisdom, we ought to look at what God says about the subject. Even a subject we can think we know what joy is, or the difference between joy and happiness, or the subject of love. You know, if I asked you this morning, what is the most important thing in life that we should desire and we should strive to get, I might get different answers on that. Some might say, well, love is the most important thing, and they might say, well, the scripture says love will cover a multitude of sins, and above all things, I think it was Paul who said, above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Well, someone else might say, well, faith is the most important thing, because without faith it's impossible to please God, and you can't even get saved without faith. Somebody else, and they could give arguments for faith, good ones. Grace, somebody might say, well, it's grace that even gives us the faith that's the gift of God, and so grace is the most important thing in life. But the scripture itself, I think, bears out that wisdom and is the principal thing, Solomon said. And let me tell you why I believe that wisdom is the principal thing that we should desire. Because every one of those things I've mentioned, love, faith, grace, or happiness, some people might say happiness. Even our forefathers wrote and talked about, we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They say life's not worth living, so on. Every one of those things, if you want to understand love or joy, what it really is, or happiness or grace, you got to have wisdom. Or each one of any of those things could lead you astray, actually, if you didn't have wisdom. You could fall in love with the world, or fall in love with the wrong man or woman, and it could actually lead you to a life of misery, or even lead you into hell, if you didn't have wisdom to understand what true love is, and what God's love is, or what the faith that the scripture talks about. There is a pseudo faith for every one of these things. There is a real, there's a genuine, and then there's a phony. There's a faith. And so that's why I believe wisdom is the principal thing, as well as if you look at the gifts that God has given the man, every one of them deals with wisdom. God has given us a book of wisdom and instruction, the Bible. First thing he gave to Moses, the law. It was called the Torah, which means the instruction, God telling man how that he ought to live. God sent his son into the world, and Jesus came preaching and teaching wisdom and righteousness. The book of Hebrews starts out and said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, hast in these last days spoken unto us by his son. So God is wanting to get a message across to us. He's wanting to get wisdom to us, and he shows us that through the law and through the prophets of the Old Testament, and then through his son, who is called the Word of God, the living Word of God. He's given us the written word, the living word, and then he's given us the Spirit of truth, who Jesus said will lead you and guide you into all truth. And then if you want to talk about the spiritual gifts, what's he named first? To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So you look at what he lists as most important are those gifts, you might call them oratorical gifts. They're gifts of wisdom that God allows a man to speak his words, to speak the very oracles of God when he is operating under that influence of the Spirit of wisdom. So even there, he lists that first, and then word of wisdom, word of knowledge to another, faith is listed third, I believe, if I'm recalling right. And then later on, healing for the body, working of miracles and gifts of healing. Brother Collins was talking, let me digress off the subject just a little bit. I've heard so many horror stories, which is like the one he told us of that neglect, or at least that nurse is reporting over there, that that neglect cost a woman her life, possibly. I've heard so many stories like that about doctors that I've decided to stay away from them all that I can. And one time I read a list of medicine, drugs. You might have seen something like this. And then it had a list of what they were for to treat, and it had a list of side effects. And every one of them had side effects. And I read that list of side effects, and I decided, well, I would rather just suffer with the disease, of most diseases, unless it became unbearable. But most of the time, the side effects are about as bad and sometimes even worse. And I would add to that, there is so much wisdom in God's word that applies to our physical and our mental health and our spiritual well-being. And all of these, of course, come together. There is so much in there, and a lot of it we're not even applying, that would eliminate most of the disease that we have if we would just look to the Word of God and what he has to say about health. Even he has a lot to say about diet, the foods that we ought to eat and how much we ought to eat, and fasting and all these things that are for our own health benefit. If we'll, temperance even is a great benefit to our health. Well, that's just another part of the wisdom of God. So each one of these things that God has given us, he's given us to, it's a type of wisdom. It's to make us wise and perfect. He even said, I give all these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's why I believe that wisdom is the principal thing. Now, it's not regarded as the principal thing by most people. Most people, if they had the choice Solomon had, and God appeared to them in a dream at night and said, ask what I shall give thee, anything you want. Not many people would say, give me a wise and understanding heart to discern judgment and to lead your people. Because if you don't believe that, let me ask you this. Where do the crowds go to? They go to where there's a healing. They will go, the bigger crowds will go more to where there's a healing campaign, and that's a great gift. Don't misunderstand me. But if a man is known as a great healer, and even back in the 50s, Brother Collins mentioned Brother Branham and Oral Roberts and these men had great ministries of healing. But the point I'm making here is they drew multitudes after them because they had a great healing for the physical body. Of course, some of these men had wisdom too. But if a man just had wisdom, well, let me give you another example. I've noticed in camp meetings, even in the Church of God, they'd have the morning Bible session usually was not as well attended as the evening service, because there aren't as many people hungry for wisdom as they are for other blessings from God. But the wise, Solomon even showed wisdom before God gave him so much wisdom when he chose wisely and said, I want wisdom first and foremost, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And you know, one reason why, as I say, that's so important is if you have that word of wisdom and knowledge, you'll avoid a lot of situations where you won't even need those other gifts. If you have a lot of wisdom, you'll avoid, as I mentioned a while ago, you'll avoid a lot of sickness. So you won't need the gift of healing to operate as much as if you're foolish. You're more apt to get, there'll be more sick people in a foolish nation. If you have that word of wisdom, you won't get in the financial binds and have to ask God for miracles near to the extent that the foolish will. Wisdom will keep you out of so much trouble. You'll avoid so many problems if you have that first, if you learn to put first things first. Even Jesus, when he invited people to come to him, notice what he said. He said, "Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And so wisdom will give you peace. Some people might say, well, the number one thing is peace and security. Wisdom is the door to happiness. Solomon said over and over again in Proverbs, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding." And he said it's the way to plenteousness, long life, riches, honor, so many of these other blessings that people would put first in their life, they will follow after if you get wisdom. Even I think Jesus was saying that in another way when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Because if you read Proverbs and study it closely, you'll find that he equates wisdom with righteousness. A wise man is a righteous man. A righteous man is a wise man. A foolish man is a wicked man. And a wicked man is a foolish man. He uses those words interchangeably many times throughout the Proverbs. Solomon does. Well, let's look here at, let me give you some definitions of some words that we'll be using. The Bible speaks of God's wisdom being manifold. How manifold are thy works? And manifold means having many parts, forms, etc., of many sorts. So there are many aspects to the wisdom of God. And even Proverbs talks about wisdom having seven pillars. The book of James, he talked about the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and so on. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. He gives you a list of the different aspects of the wisdom of God. Equity is a word that Solomon uses in Solomon chapter, or Proverbs chapter 2. He talks about us having equity, which means if we have wisdom, we'll have equity. Equal, the word, you can see the relationship with the word equal. Fairness, impartiality, and judgment. God's wisdom is equal. And you know, that aspect of wisdom, as you look at God's word, you'll see that in many areas. Even the Apostle Paul said, in your giving, you should keep in mind equality. And Jesus taught this too when he said, "Let him that hath two coats give to him that hath none." So then they've got one coat apiece. Whereas before, the one had two and the other had zero. When he gives him one, then they have one apiece. That's equality in giving. And the Apostle Paul taught the same thing when he said, "Now I'm taking this offering for the poor saints at Jerusalem." But he said, "I'm not doing this for the purpose of making," he said, "they're poor and you've got abundance." But he said, "My purpose is not to make you poor and them have abundance," but he said, "that there may be an equality. Everybody will have the necessities and what they need." The apostles did that in the New Testament. They brought their offerings, laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to every man as he had need. So that idea of fairness, the scripture even warns against giving to the rich. He that gives to the rich will come to poverty. And I've been reminded of that. I've been in a few meetings, not very many, where the man taking the offering was much better off than I was. I mean, he wore very expensive clothes and had very expensive rings on his fingers, and he was much better off than I was. So I said, well, I'm going to wait and give to where there's a greater need. He drove a $30,000, $40,000 car, you know, Mercedes or something like that. And I said, why, he should be, according to the scripture, he should be giving me an offering. So I was not all that enthused about giving to the rich. The scripture says they'll come to want. Because, you know, people who give to the rich anyway, there's usually an ulterior motive. They're trying to do it for some kind of advantage to get on their good side. And so the scripture says not to do that. Some of you might not want to give Christmas gifts because most of the people you know are so well off. A lot of times kids have everything. There are some who have nearly everything. And so you might be breaking. You might do better to say, I'm going to give this offering. I told mine that. They got some of my nephew, nieces especially, got so demanding at Christmas time. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. And I said, well, I'm not going to give any more gifts. I'll give a gift to the missions where it's needed, because you should not become demanding gifts. And their attitude just was totally turned me against the whole idea of giving them gifts. So I said, I'm going to give it where it's needed more, and you'll get a little bit of a blessing out of that, since I took money that I was going to give to you and gave it where it was needed. I don't know if they thought much of that idea, but I think it was a good one, and I think it was a wise one. Anyway, in Proverbs chapter 3, I mentioned equity is equality. Solomon said we would have. And discretion is another word that he used. Discreet means careful about what one says or does, or prudent. And this word prudent is also used. Prudence is common sense. And I would say prudence is the kind of sense that comes from experience. And it's the kind that older people would tend to have more, should have more prudence. They've had more experience, and they've learned life's lessons oftentimes the hard way. And the scripture even talks about the wisdom of the ancient. Discretion, which comes from the word discreet, it says it's the freedom to make decisions. Someone has said that that real freedom that the scripture talks about is just being able to do what you ought to do. You see, the sinner and the foolish man is bound. And the scripture even says the proud man. Pride is like chains that bind a man. And look at it this way. The person who's addicted, whatever addiction it is, addicted to sin. Sin is addictive, but we think of drugs as being addictive, or alcohol or cigarettes. But all sin is addictive. And what it does is it takes your choice away from you. It forces you to do. You become the servant. He that commits sin is the servant of sin. And Paul said there in Romans chapter 6, 7, 8, he dealt at great length with that. He said, if you yield your members servants to sin, then you become the slave of sin, and you can no longer do the things that you would, but you do what sin, that sin nature, tells you to do. So real wisdom gives you the freedom. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It really gives you the freedom to do the things that you ought to do, the things that are pleasing to God. Without that freedom, you may want to do it all day long and never get around to doing it. And that's what Paul said the condition he was in. The good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. If then I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He recognized that it wasn't a problem of his will or his mental assent. It was a problem. It was a sin problem that had him under bondage that had to be dealt with. So when we really get the wisdom of God, we have the freedom to obey God as we should. Proverbs chapter 3, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." Chapter 2, he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So many great promises that go along with wisdom. You can't make a mistake with God's wisdom when you act according to God's wisdom. There just isn't any such thing as making a mistake when you know God's wisdom. But without it, every area of your life, you're going to make mistakes. Whether it's, and he talks about all of them, relationships, the friends that you choose, the spouse that you choose, the business decisions that you make, financial decisions, everything you do, and even your religion. You know, why all the false religion? Why all the divisions in Christianity? A lack of wisdom on somebody's part. There's a lack of wisdom. So in other words, wisdom, besides happiness that he talks about here, wisdom brings unity.
Hallelujah.
Wisdom brings unity to the body of Christ. Many times a wise man can see two people who are arguing, and he can see sometimes that they're both right. They're just seeing the truth maybe from a little different angle. They both have good points, and sometimes they're not necessarily contradicting one another. They just think they are. They both have their points, and they both could learn from one another if they wouldn't be so angry. So wisdom brings unity. Thou shalt understand. Let's look here at chapter 2 of Proverbs. First he says, if you're going to have wisdom, you got to want it. And in fact, you got to want it more than other things. More than wealth, more than the things that most of the world wants, most of all. And I believe you ought to even want it more than you want happiness. You know, this thing of the pursuit of happiness can lead you to misery. A man who takes drugs is doing it because it makes him feel good. You might say for happiness. A man who goes after sin, well, there's the pleasures of sin for a season. And so he may well be pursuing happiness, but he doesn't know how the proper way to go about it. Because lasting happiness and eternal joy depends on wisdom. And you've got to want, it's just a very simple point there, but you got to want wisdom, and you got to want it. Cry, incline your ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart unto understanding. Your heart and the desires of your heart are going to determine the direction of your life. And if you really have a heart desire for God's wisdom, then that's going to lead your feet to the house of God when the doors are open and when you're able to be there. It's going to lead you to listen, if you listen to the radio, to listen to the programs that are teaching God's wisdom. It's going to lead you to the right kind of books. First of all, it's going to lead you to the Bible and to other books that agree with the Bible and that tell the stories, testimonies of wise men and great Christian men. So it's going to lead you, if you apply your ear unto wisdom, or incline your ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. And then, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. It is also, I believe, an important part of our prayer life should be seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God. Anytime that you're seeking God's will in your life, you're seeking wisdom, the wisdom to do the right thing. The scripture tells us, pray for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And I think that's a prayer that you may want to pray every day or many times a day. Every time you face something, and even as Brother Collins mentioned earlier, even if you don't know how to pray, you have to say, God, give me wisdom. There's some prayers that you can always pray, thy will be done. Many times when I don't know what God's will is and I don't have the wisdom to pray as I ought, I've prayed that prayer, thy will be done. Again, I learned that off of Jesus himself, who reached that time when he said, how shall I pray? He didn't know how to pray. Deliver me from this hour, for this hour came I forth. And so he ended up just saying, not my will. If it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. Well, that's crying after wisdom, or crying after knowledge, and lifting up thy voice for understanding. It really has to not only be a desire, it needs to be the strongest desire of our life if we're going to seek it as we ought to do. Think of the effort that men have put forth, gone to the ends of the earth seeking for gold. They hear a rumor. You want to know one of the reasons California got settled so fast is the story reached around the world. There's gold. They found gold in 1849 in California near San Francisco. And man, the population of California increased in just a year or so's time. The people were coming across the country and they were sailing from around the world because they had heard that story that they found gold in California. And even still, they're called the San Francisco 49ers, the gold rush. Well, the same thing happened even in a far-off place like the Yukon up in Alaska. I believe it was along the Yukon River there. They discovered gold, and that was years later, about 50 years later, I think. And people were going, and many of them died on the journey because they had to go across wilderness mountains of Alaska. Many of them didn't even make it there, but they had heard the story, there's gold there, and they forsook all and went after that. The scripture's telling us that we ought to seek wisdom in that way and go to the ends of the earth if we have to. Now, I mentioned earlier, not many people do that. Jesus even made mention of the fact, he said, in the days of Solomon, he said, the Queen of Sheba, or the Queen of the South, is going to rise up and condemn this generation. She heard of the wisdom of Solomon and came from far. But you know, when she came, the highways weren't crowded with people rushing to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She's the only queen that we hear of that came from far to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus was rebuking his generation because he said, an even greater than Solomon is here, and there were many people there in Israel who wouldn't walk across the street to hear him. Now, there were multitudes that did, but there were a lot that opposed the ministry of Christ. There were even more that opposed him. And many of them that did go to hear him, they were just trying to catch him in his words, to have something that they might accuse him of. But he said, you ought to seek wisdom with that same kind of zeal that those men in the gold rush ran after that gold. Then he said, if, and it's a conditional promise. In verse 4 he said, if you seek her in this manner as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Some people think that life is just to be a continual frustration, but that's not really what God has in mind. I think a lot of times we're continually frustrated because we're running after the wrong things. They think just around the next bend or over the next hill, if I get this certain thing in life I want, then I'm really going to be satisfied and happy. Sometimes they get it, and sometimes they don't, but either way they're frustrated because that doesn't satisfy their soul. Well, God's telling us here, if we really want to be satisfied and content, you've got to seek for wisdom and make it the center. And he says in verse 5, then comes the promise, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God didn't put us here to be continually frustrated in life. The Rolling Stones, I don't recommend you listen to them, but I don't listen to them, but I read a thing about them that Mick Jagger sung the song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And that was the story of their life. They can't. Here's a man who has fame around the world, millions of dollars, women chasing after him, and he's singing, I can't get no satisfaction. No wonder he's not seeking for wisdom. He's not going after the thing that he ought to. And many of the great men, and even the men that the world counted as wise, and there is two kinds of wisdom. There is the wisdom that descendeth not from above, that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, that leads great men to despair, and that continual frustration that I was talking about, that they think they're continually frustrated and they're never satisfied because they're going after the wrong thing, or even they're seeking wisdom and going about it the wrong way. They're seeking an earthly wisdom, a wisdom that's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Or as the serpent beguiled Eve, eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're learning about both good and evil. They're not willing to be simple concerning evil. The scripture promises us God wants us to be satisfied, and he wants us to have what we seek after in life, if we'll seek the right thing. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And the Bible says, desire spiritual gifts. And then he says, but rather that ye may prophesy. He was saying that was more important because that's giving wisdom to the whole body of Christ. And he's saying, if you speak with tongues, then you should desire to be able to interpret, because then, again, you're giving to the whole body of Christ. You're giving forth wisdom. So even in those spiritual gifts, we can be wise in what we desire. And in our manifestation, he said, when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit is blessed, but your understanding's unfruitful. So he said, the solution is, I will pray in the Spirit and with the understanding. And he gives us some instruction of wisdom, even in our desire for spiritual gifts. I mean, I would say, desire the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and faith, in that order, and on down the list there. And he says that wisdom is only given, first of all, here to those that desire it. But he said he gives wisdom to the lowly. So wisdom is for the humble in heart. The proud can't see it, and they don't want to see it, and they wouldn't receive it if they could see it. But he says God gives wisdom to the lowly. And he layeth up in verse 7, sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. You see, God's not interested in just swelled heads and empty hearts. God is saying that he gives his wisdom to those that will obey. You want more light? Walk in the light that you have. Light received brings more light. Light rejected brings darkness. And that's what he's telling us here in Proverbs. Live according to the wisdom that you have, and God will give more wisdom. You know, look at the basic decisions that we have to make. I mean, look at the one of the biggest decisions would be marriage. Okay, what's the light that we have in Scripture? Well, God doesn't tell us specifically who we're supposed to marry. But he gives some general guidelines to look for someone who's a Christian, who's committed their life to Christ, and I believe even has been a Christian for a while, has proved themselves. I think you can apply that. If you're going to say a bishop and a deacon ought to be proved, then certainly someone you want to spend the rest of your life with, they ought to be proved. You know, you shouldn't have this situation, and I have seen it in churches, where a young man or a young lady gets saved, and immediately they've got a bunch of people wanting, of Christian young people wanting to date them. That shouldn't happen. That's not wisdom. They should say, hey, let's wait and see if they have depth in themselves, and if they get established, and if they're really faithful to God, and then we'll take it from there. That's just common sense, which we have so little of. But the scriptures, so there you have some basic guidelines. What God is saying is, if you'll walk in the principles that he's laid down, then when it gets down to specific decisions, he'll lead you and guide you. But if you get off the trail, he's not going to guide you. It's like a friend of mine was asking me advice on a particular, had a certain problem in his life, and he was asking me advice as to what he, and asking several other people advice. And I had to tell him, I said, well, look, I told you a long time ago that you shouldn't have done this. And if you wouldn't have done, if you'd have took my advice back then, you wouldn't even be facing this problem you're facing today, you see. But you rejected that counsel. Now, don't get down the wrong trail and then ask me for directions. I don't even know that road you're on. And I think that's the way God feels when a lot of us ask for direction. He's saying, hey, you went down the wrong trail a long time ago, and now your life is in a mess, and you're asking me for directions on a road I'm not familiar with. Go back to where you made the wrong turn, and then God will direct your life. And that's wisdom. Amen.